Well, good morning. Yep, we'll figure out the food. All of it we had, it seemed like it was good. Everybody liked this, everybody liked that. And I'm kind of leaning towards going back to Polish Village. But we'll see. Gwonkies. Also, you know, and I know that we're going to have some other graduations. The Farrar twins are graduating. Also, now I'm going to mess up. Jacob Prier. And as that information comes in, we're going to share it with you because we're not, you know, I don't want to be selfish and just announce PJs, and there are other families here that we can bless, and it's not an expectation, it's just an invitation. Please, so if you're available, the information, address and stuff is on my door. And then, you know, Sandy said that she wasn't going to put this, but my son's usurping my birthday for his graduation that day. So if you think about it when you're coming, that it's also Pastor's birthday, we're getting a cake for me too. So, and I'm making rigatoni, just so you know. So, why don't you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And just as we're preparing for this morning and the message and what Jesus is really ministering to the body, I want you to understand, you know, because I live on this earth too, and I understand, you know, what's going on, especially in the times that we're at, the anxiety, the worries, and the concern that we're all facing. I know that there are even, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a medical doctor. What Jesus is comparing and what he is addressing is that the war, or the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And I know that there are those that have the mental battles, and that there are some that require medication for those mental battles. Understand, I think, that we are live in a society that is over-medicated. And so as we look at this, as the Spirit speaks to your heart, I'm not going to delve into the mental aspects of this, but I believe that the Lord and the Spirit would have you examine, if you do, that you are being rightly medicated for those issues. The problem is that we live in a society that medicates itself to deal with anxieties and concerns that Jesus is going to clearly say his heavenly Father can deal with for us, can help us out with. And so I want you to keep, because it seems so simplistic that people will start going, well, you don't understand what I don't, but he does. And I believe in it will address even those struggles, whether it's, you know, in the mental aspect of it, in the psychological aspect of it, but understand what Jesus is going to address is the temporal, the flesh, those things that we believe we need versus the reality of, and the spiritual reality of life, the totality of life, and what it means that he breathed life into us and created us in his image. So do you understand that? So please, when I'm doing this, don't think, well, you don't understand that I have to do that. And I don't, but he does. And that's not what he's addressing, but I believe he can and will through his Holy Spirit as we open up and hear what the Word of God has to say and the heart of Jesus has to say, okay? Fair enough? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would do a perfect work this morning, Lord, that you would calm fears, ease, anxieties, concerns, worries, whatever they may be. Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Lord, that each of us could say we're not of little faith, but we're growing in faith, your children, and we trust you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. Lord, pour out your Spirit this morning. Lord, as we're so grateful, Lord, of what we can celebrate, the freedoms that we have gotten to celebrate, but also we're very concerned about where culture and society is heading. With the understanding and the knowledge, Lord, that you told us what's going to happen. Lord, but it's they're denying or they're rejecting you. They're not rejecting us. And so help us, Lord, to have our proper place and right thoughts through all this. And Lord, we trust you to protect your church. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And as I had said, I believe that, you know, and there is a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. This is a spiritual battle that's going on. We've been talking about it even through, as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, that we need to be aware of those things, that there are things going on behind the scene. And sadly, I've seen some people picked off along the way as, I talk a little bit more about it on Wednesday nights because we're in Revelation. But as the nations are raging and people are having to pick sides and they're politicizing everything, we see people that are really given in to the pull and the message of secular humanism and this direction towards world globalism and everything, and we need to pray for them, but we also need to be in prayer for ourselves that we don't get picked off, that we don't get deceived. But we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And what are our weapons of warfare? You go to Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we have been given the sword of God, His Word, and prayer. Your weapons of warfare are His Word of truth, and Jesus just went through teaching us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. And so we have this model for prayer. We can bring all of our needs, all of our concerns, everything going on in our life to our Heavenly Father, who Christ has opened up that access to the throne of grace that we can come in our time of need. And so we understand that. So we've been given these weapons of warfare. It's not your wit. It's not your righteousness. It's not that you're right, but it's prayer and the Word of God. Casting down arguments and arguments, and that's everything is an argument today, isn't it? Everything is choose a side. It's literally bad ideas. And I'm telling you, the world is, they've got more and more bad ideas. You just give them any more days, they're going to come up with more, right? But casting down arguments, bad ideas, we're to resist those things. And we resist them through understanding God's Word and His Word of truth and being people of prayer. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. Here's the problem. One of the things that causes concern and worry in our lives is when our thoughts have captivity of us, right? But Jesus, the Lord says, or Paul says, that we're to bring every thought into captivity and the obedience of Christ. And so as we're looking at this, as Jesus is going to start, don't worry. Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. But he says, don't worry about these things. Three times he's going to say, do not worry. We bring everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and he's going to tell us we don't need to worry, and he's going to tell us why we don't need to worry. When you look at verses 16 through 18, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and you don't, so that you don't appear to men be fasting, but you, your father who is in the secret place, and your father who sees in secret will reward you. And we've been through that. He said, so, you know, whose approval are you looking for? Here are some aspects that will bring anxiety or concern into our lives. And the first thing is, whose approval are you looking for? The religious leaders would exercise rituals and traditions so that they looked holy and righteous to those who are around them. Jesus is not suggesting we should live a secret life of faith out of the public's eye, but that we should not be doing it to be seen of others, of man. In other words, are you living for man's approval or your heavenly Father's approval? It's a good question to ask. The problem with our nature is to do spiritual things in the flesh, isn't it? That in giving, praying, fasting, these things that Jesus is putting before us, and not doing it the way the hypocrite does. He keeps saying the hypocrite does this. But, you know, when you're giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I was reading some of the, I call them the blogs of the malcontents, and a pastor that you know, we loved had fallen in. And I was reading the blogs of the malcontents, and it went, you know, and people just find any reason to complain or to point out everybody else's faults. We're not going to get into don't judge yet. We'll do that next week. But, you know, and I'm reading this thing, and this one comment was, you know, at Calvary Chapel where they don't pass, and some Calvaries do. Some Calvaries, Raul Reese, I think Pastor Chuck used to at Costa Mesa, they would pass a basket. We don't pass a basket. And down in Fort Lauderdale, they didn't pass a basket. And so this person makes this comment that, well, you know, they think that they're so holy because they don't pass, but you know what, they were taking, you know, I find great value an aspect of worship to be able to give in public. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm thinking, what does that have to do with anything? He said, you know, to do these things in secret, to give in, you know, not let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. Because your giving is between you and the Lord. And so I think a greater example of that is not, you know, not passing something. Then you have to decide whether or not, you know what I'm saying? You're not being pressured in anything. But I'm reading this thing going, are you for real? Calvary Chapel is taking away an opportunity for him to worship. No, we're just taking away or an opportunity for you to be a hypocrite and to give so everybody else is given. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying anybody here. But do you understand the aspect? And so what Jesus is addressing is these things that are done before other people, you know, before others and stuff. But giving, praying, fasting, and what we are to do unto the Lord are often done as unto man. And we should be honest about what influences our spiritual walk and our worship. What influences it? Secondly, in verse 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus then addresses where's your treasure? What is your treasure? What do you treasure? There are things that cause anxiety, worry, and fear. What others think about who you are or what you have, does that cause concern in your life? Come on, every one of us struggle with that to one extent or another. You know, do your clothes have famous labels on them? You know, or in these different things. What I'm going to eat sometimes causes concern for me and anxiety, right? Ask Beth. What possesses you? Are you enslaved to earthly things, or are you heavenly minded? Whatever your treasure is, will be your God. Can your God be stolen? Is there something in your life that can be stolen that has a hold of you? That's what I'll ask. That makes you anxious? That might cause some concern? Is there, you know, is it earthly stuff that will ultimately be destroyed by the elements? I mean, we live in the Motor City. If there's a place where moth or rust can destroy people's gods, and I'm telling you, cars are a god here to some. They have to care for their gods, and guess what? Their gods are going to rust regardless of how much care they give to them. You understand that? We live in an idolatrous society. Are you earthly bound or are you heavenly minded? Where are your treasures? Where are you storing up treasure? And then in 22 through 24, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, what comes in, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What has your eye? Huh? What has your attention? Do you have an eternal heavenly perspective that steers your life, or do you have? Are you seeking after earthly value? What controls your thoughts, your actions? You cannot serve two masters, but you will be mastered or enslaved to something or someone. Anxiety and worry result from anything we put in place of trusting God. Jesus is ultimately going to say, you of little faith. If you're a worrier, it's getting in the way of your worship. The approval of others, possessions, societal values, fame, fortune, what is it? What is it that you might lose, or what is it that you might not attain or might not have that causes worry or fear or anxiety? When you think of it, Jesus is exposing all of the concerns common to man, things we make as necessities to live, right, to life. I can't live without it. That we are driven by, it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so verse 25, Jesus says, therefore what? Therefore, with all these things in mind, and look, you say, don't be like the hypocrites who say that they're God followers, who say that they believe in God, yet they don't live in that way. Their intentions, and only Jesus really can read the intention of the heart. He's going to pretty soon say, don't judge unless you realize that you're going to be judging the same way. But he can. And he said, look, their intention, the reason they're doing it is for all the wrong reasons. And he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus now turns from the dangers of laying up treasures on earth instead of in heaven to worrying about the everyday necessities of life. Both are true to human nature. On one hand, we can be led astray in worshiping earthly treasures and materialism, or we can be burdened by worry and fear of not having what we need or what we want in order to live, or at least what we believe we need in order to live. Either way, the problem is when we can be obsessed and possessed by the physical needs of life. Jesus says we're not to worry. Well, that's easy for Jesus to say, right? It says, take no thought is what it means. Do not be anxious. And it's about the earthly temporal cares of life. He is not saying don't think. He says, take no thought. Don't be taken captive by it. It's okay to think about it. Don't be taken captive by it. Take no thought. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42 gives us a great example, I believe, of what Jesus is trying to say here. Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Martha was distracted, and she was worried and troubled about many things, Jesus said. And that's a clear meaning of what Jesus is saying. Do not worry about food and drink and clothing. There is more to life than these worldly things. And when they cause anxiety, when they cause worry, then they can distract us from the more important eternal issues of life. They can take our eyes off of the Lord. Jesus is not suggesting we do not think of these things at all, or take no thought. Jesus is concerned about them ruling one's life to the point where it causes anxiety, worry, or fear. And so he says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I think sometimes people read this, And the first thing that comes to mind is Heckle and Jekyll, sitting on a wire, making fun of everybody, and waiting for things to come their way, right? But that's not what Jesus is saying. And only the people that are old enough to know what Heckle and Jekyll were ever laughed, huh? And some of you didn't laugh, and that was, you're trying to hide. But have you ever watched the birds? I watched them. They're actually kind of funny to watch and kind of peculiar. But they're always busy. They don't sit and wait for food to come to them. They build their nests. They gather food for their young. And what looks in simplicity, God has provided everything that they need. God is their creator. He cares for them. But God is your heavenly Father. He's not their heavenly Father. How much more does he care for you? That's what Jesus is saying. The concept of fatherhood, listen, has been... And I know some have been burned by men who would call themselves fathers. Our society is riddled with fatherless children, either by failures or absence of men that, you know, the failure to fulfill that position. I know there many today that may not have had a father in the home, may have been because of abandonment, maybe because of drunkenness or drugs. Maybe it was a pregnancy out of wedlock. You may struggle with the concept of a heavenly father. Yet you have a father who loves you. You have a father who will never leave you nor forsake you. You have a father who is faithful to provide for you. Who, if you were his only child, if you understood this and just how much he loved you, if you were the only child of his creation, he would have sent his son to redeem you unto himself. That's how much he loves you. I think of growing up, you know, any concerns, anything that I would be afraid of or anything, you know, My dad was goofy, but he was kind of scary. But he wasn't scary to me, unless I did something wrong, which was a lot of the time. But that was a good anxiety or concern or fear, probably, because it kept me out of other things that I probably shouldn't have done. But do you understand what I'm saying? But if there was any anxiety or fear of the big bad world around me, whenever Dad was around, those fears and those concerns, they were gone. And that's what your Heavenly Father does for you and for me. And their birds aren't worried. They just get to work. You understand that? They just get to work. In verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Listen, you're never going to be as tall as me. So stop worrying. Some of you could use the 18 inches, but I can't help you with that, right? But that's not what Jesus actually is intending here, the idea that you can make yourself taller. The term is addressing this: worry and fear accomplish nothing, and you can add nothing to your life by worrying. You can add nothing to it. Jesus is saying you can add nothing to life by worrying. Actually, the opposite is true. Stress contributes to disease and poor health. You're actually going to diminish your quality of life instead of add to it or gain in your quality of life. And he knows the number of your days, and he will care for you all of your days. Do you believe that? Have you ever thought about that? He wants you prepared for eternity, so when your days conclude in this life, you are secure for what comes next. There's more to this life, Christian. And if you're not a Christian or you don't believe that, I'm telling you there's more to your life that you need to consider. Are you distracted by many things like Martha? Or have you laid hold of the one thing that cannot be taken from you? Mary sat at Jesus' feet and simply heard his words that lead to eternal life. And he said, that's the good thing. But our concerns, our anxieties, the things that we unnecessarily burden ourselves with can drown that out, can distract us from what's important. And we need to be careful. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Lilies, they grow out of the earth, right? Flowers, they're amazing, right? They're plants, and then all of a sudden out of it blossoms or blooms this beautiful creation that God has intended them for. But they grow out of the earth. They're fed by the nutrients of the earth. They take sunlight, and you know, from the sky. They take water through the earth, hydrosynthesis and chlorophyll. What was that? Chlorophotosynthesis and all that stuff. It's what makes them green. I know that. But anyways, I know all that stuff. I've studied it. I just have forgotten. I've forgotten more than I probably have learned. But anyways, but the idea that God has provided everything for them. Now, God formed you from that same dirt. Isn't that something? And he breathed life in you, and he has watered you with his word and shined the light of the gospel and his son into your life. And he says, if God cares about the plants that he created, don't you think that he cares a lot more about you? The rabbinical historians say that Solomon dressed in all white silk. He had the best of everything imported. I mean, he had zoos. He had every animal known on earth, imported to Jerusalem. He had everything. He was the wisest and wealthiest man, quite possibly, ever in the history of humankind. He had everything. He tried everything. He experienced everything the world had to offer. Tradition says that when he went into public, he would have 32 males with all the same jet black hair that would run, you know, half on one side of his chariot, the other ones would be half on the other side of his chariot, and that when he would go out, he would have gold pulverized to dust and sprinkled on their black hair so that it would illuminate in the sun as he wore his white silk. That kind of glory and splendor. And Jesus says the lilies are more majestic than even Solomon in his shining glory. God gave that much attention to a flower. How much more does he value you? Oh, God can't love me. God doesn't love me. Jesus would not agree with you. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, this same thing, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? He's not saying don't say those things. He's saying don't let them control you or distract you from what's important. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble because I'm always wondering what I'm going to eat. I just don't let it worry me. If I want something, I go get it, right? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So he says, therefore, take no thought. Don't worry about a thing. You know, that Bob Marley was probably right around one thing. I don't know if it's from the scriptures or when he was, you know, getting high. But he said, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be all right. I mean, that part's biblical. Do not succumb to the point of worry or anxiety to everyday needs. You get that? Do not succumb to worry and anxiety for the things that you need on a daily basis. The Gentile, the non-believer, those who are of the flesh or of the world is what he's saying, they are consumed by the things of this life and what they need for this temporal life because that's all they know. Right? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. And I reconcile what Jesus is saying this way. Listen, simply, God is sovereign. He is the giver of life. He's the creator of all things. And he knows the number of our days. He knows the number of my days. Worrying isn't going to change it. Right? I am his creation. I am also his child because I put my faith in his son, Jesus Christ. I know that. I do not know when he has determined for me to end in when this life is going to end, what he has determined for that, and when I will enter into eternity. But I know it's going to happen because it's appointed for each of us to die, unless he comes back before that and translates, you know, translates us and translates me before that happens, which would be cool. But I'm not going to worry about the other thing because it might be today or it might be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. I don't know. But I know this. It's not if, but because of that he will perform what he has promised to perform to get me to the day that he has determined that this life is over and eternity begins. Do you understand that? So you don't need to worry about what you need today because God's going to provide whatever you need to get you to where he has determined he wants you. Does that make sense? But it's his sovereignty, and we have to trust him in that. And so he will provide what I need to live until that day. The question then becomes, listen, do I trust him? Do you trust him today? Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. What's all these things? It's not all, and it's all. Right? And I was talking. Who was I talking to the other day? Just as a reminder, what does all in the scriptures mean? You know the Greek for all means? All, yeah. And what he's talking about is everything you need. Everything that he's promised. What's more important for life and real life? Food, drink, and clothing? Are my eyes on the things of this earth, or are they on the things of heaven and eternity? And what's more important? You know, do you trust him with your life? Listen, do you trust him? Do you believe him? Do you trust him to provide for your needs? Do you believe that do you really believe he cares for you? Do you believe he will never leave you nor forsake you as he has promised? Do you believe that he is sovereign and that your life is safely in his hands? Not just this life, but eternal life, eternity. Do you believe that? Because the more we grow in faith and trust, what Jesus, I believe, is letting us know is the less we're going to be concerned or worry about or have anxieties about. The more our mind is stayed on him, then what's going on here? I remember after September 11th, Beth Pryor remembers, I think you were pregnant with PJ. Hannah was, a year old, not even a year old. I don't know how long, probably maybe a year old. And I was with another company and we had a meeting in Henderson, Nevada. And it was towards the end of November. It's just a couple weeks afterwards. And I remember November 2001. That would have been my first year. No, 2007. So I was I think it probably became an elder here. And so we're getting ready to go. And everybody's going, you're not getting on a plane, are you? I said, why not? Well, you know, they just blew up the towers and they took control of the planes. I said, look, and I think we may have talked about it. I don't remember. I'm just saying, if today is the day that God has determined that he's going to bring me home, it doesn't matter if I get on a plane or I go hide in my bedroom in my bed. It is going to come to pass because that's what God has determined. You know, and I think God gave me insight even back then. That is the truth of the matter. So why worry about tomorrow or anything else? Because he's got my life in his hands. He's got your life in his hands. And he's already got it all worked out and all determined. And he'll give you whatever you need to get you there. Do you believe that? So, what do we have to worry about, Christian? What do we need to be concerned about? Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. So there it is again. Therefore do not worry about it. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Most of our worries and anxieties come from things we have no control over. Listen, there are things you have no control over. Like tomorrow. Anybody ever worried about the next thing that was coming tomorrow, a week down, and then you got there and realized that it was already taken care of, or what didn't happen the way that you thought it was going to happen because God was already working to take care of it? Or it might be something that we brought upon ourselves that we knew was coming, and we just have to face it when it comes. But there's no sense worrying about it before it comes, right? We can only attend to today. One commentator stated this, many Christians are crucified between two thieves, the regrets of the past and the concerns of the future. I'm going to read that again. Many Christians are crucified between two thieves, the regrets of the past and the concerns of the future. Is that you? Your Father is a very present help in your time of need. Today, Christian, what do you have to worry about or fear? What do you really have to worry about or fear? Other than my going too long and you're not getting to the donuts. Maybe that's my fear. But But here's the thing. You cannot change the past, and you cannot control the future. So take hold of your Father's promises today. Paul wrote this, and we listen. It's easy for you to say. No, it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you just hand these things over and just let me take, and realize that I'm in control of these things, this is factual. It's truthful. And every once in a while when we do it and get a glimpse of the truth of his promises, right? We're like, oh, yeah. And then we get concerned about something, or anxiety distracts us often, away from these truths. But it's okay to keep going back to it. Be anxious for nothing. Well, it's easy for Paul to say, right? Because Paul was super holy. He didn't have anything to worry about. Beaten how many times? Got on a boat that was going to be shipwrecked. Got bit by a snake, He was beaten within the inch of his life. He almost died. But he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Isn't that what kind of Jesus is just, look, this when you pray this way. Bring it all. Bring anything. Bring one thing. Bring everything that you have on your heart. And lay it at his feet. Your fears, your concerns, all those things. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I find that thanksgiving, actually is a game changer. Have you ever prayed with thanksgiving? Hey, Lord, this is all, everything's falling apart. My world's falling apart. But I know this, Lord, you're in control. And I'm just grateful. Right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen, and expect not the answer that you want, but be expectant of the peace that he promises. Sometimes I don't really care about the peace. I want the answer now, and I want it this way. And when it's not that way, now all of a sudden it causes more anxiety and concern. Instead, saying, Lord, now you deal with it the way that you're going to deal with it. And that peace is a promise. And it can be expected. Which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I believe, as we're looking at it, Jesus saying, focus on the one thing that's important. That doesn't mean stop doing the other things. Don't sit at home waiting for somebody to bring you a meal, And that's okay. We do that for each other. But don't wait for it to fall into your lap. We still have to think. We still have to work. But don't worry about those things. And the peace of God will surpass, And I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me to look, Lord, I know that I'm going to have what I need until you have determined it's time for me to come home. Anything more actually probably is just a burden. Amen? We're going to take communion together. So Pam and Debbie are going to come up and sing. They're going to get ready to hand out the elements. And do we believe it? Even now, is there something that you came in with that you're worried about that's causing anxiety? Look, I just turn on the news and it can start causing anxiety. But it doesn't, the reality is God knows. It's not taking him by surprise. In fact, he said this is exactly what the world wants. And they're going to get what they want. But here's the promise too. Listen, what do you really want? Is it the things of the kingdom? Is it his peace? And, and the promises that he's given? If that's truly the desire of your heart, you will get what you want. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Until the day he has determined for you. That's comforting to me. Now I don't have to have control of everything, right? So as the team plays and sings, just examine ourselves. These things are all for self-examination. Why are you doing it? Unto whom are you doing it? You know? What are you really seeking? What should you be focused on? And the things that are just worthless and of no value, let's just unload them. And come, you know, and come to the table. He said, do this in remembrance of me. This is why Jesus came, because of you. He said that, and he knows that the burdens of this world are heavy, but he said to take his burdens, take his yoke upon ourselves, to lay our burdens off on him. Go ahead. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, as we hold the cracker, Lord, I just pray that as you've spoken to us, Lord, through your word, and just individually, Lord, as our Savior and as our Lord, I pray, Lord, that we, and just my desire is to trade worries for worship. Lord, I just lay the worries down because I want my life to be worship, a living worship to you. And I just pray that your Spirit would move, Lord, that you'd remove that burden and those burdens from anybody here that have worries or anxieties, Lord, that as we lay them down, Lord, that worship and worship of you would become reality. Because we know that worry is a restriction from it, Lord. And so I just pray that, Lord, you would set us free this morning from those things. Replace it with your peace. That's why you came. And so as we eat, we do this in remembrance of you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And Lord, as we hold the cup, Lord, it's the blood, it's the new covenant, Lord, forgiveness because of the blood that you shed once for all. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that feels crucified between the regrets of the past and the concerns of the future, Lord, that you'd free them from that. You don't remember them anymore. And it's okay for us to go back and look at your grace and your mercy and your goodness from the past, but Lord, to not question whether or not, Lord, our past cannot be forgiven. And I just pray that everybody here would have that assurance, Lord. Your grace is deeper, stronger than any regrets. Lord, that you would erase them and that we would be grateful today, Lord, with thanksgiving. Supplication and prayer with thanksgiving, Lord. We're so grateful for what you've done. So as we drink, we do this in remembrance of you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and every one here this morning, Lord. And Lord, that you would just free. Whom you set free are free indeed. From past failures, from future concerns, we're free here and we're free now. And we thank you for your precious promises. Lord, for your peace, that we're at peace and we have peace with you. Lord, regardless of what this world may want or what this world may do, Lord, we know that you're in control. So calm every heart. Lord, subdue every anxiety or concern of the heart and of the mind, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.